Dragon Ball.
Normal. One of us has got to bring the. One of us has got to bring the energy. Super. Dragon Ball Super.
What?
One of us has got to bring this energy. It's a dreary ass day outside, Lawson.
It's time for Balling Out Super! It's a rainy day in New York City. Baby in the Heights! We don't live in the Heights. But if, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda did.
I see the sights.
In the Heights?
I fucking know this god. I don't know why I can't remember the goddamn
lyrics
song now. Kid sings it to me every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your kid loves In the Heights?
She loves In the Heights.
The movie?
No, the fucking. Oh, the play. The movie's all right.
Oh, actually.
The movie's not actually even. Yeah.
Yeah. Lights up on Washington Heights up at the break of day. I wake up and I got this little punk I gotta chase away. Right, anyway, I'm reading. I'm obviously reading this because I know what I want.
Yeah, Pop the Great Pop the Great as. Man, I am exhausted. I would be rattling this off. I, in fact, rattled it off last night at dinner.
Yeah. I am Usnavi, and you probably never heard my name. Reports of my fame are greatly exaggerated. Anyway, in the Heights, yeah, I flip the lights and start my day.
I'm out of it. Everything in this room is covered in plastic resin. Everything is oily. There's nothing I can do.
Are you dying inside?
I had to clean up a mess from the fucking 3D printer. And so, anything I touched in this room is now covered with a film of oil. So now I have to basically deep clean this room.
I have a question, Manel.
Yeah, my brother.
Are there fights and endless debts and bills to pay?
Yeah, there are fights, endless debts, and bills to pay. My favorite line is, Oye, Pia, ¿cómo está?
Wait, that's a line?
Yeah.
It's a spoken line in the middle of this.
Because Peter Guardo comes up and he's like, I got palcha, china, cherry, and strawberry, and just for today, I got mame. He's like, oye, Peter Guardo, ¿cómo está? Como siempre, señor Usnavi. And Lou's like, what did he say? And I had to translate a lot of In the Heights for Lou, because part of it's in Spanish.
A lot of it, they just go into Spanish without warning.
Yeah.
And they don't throw subtitles either.
No. And here's the thing, it's like, that's what, I hate Spanglish, because Spanglish is not a real thing. People speak Spanish and then speak English.
Yes.
That's what the Spanish, they don't conflate the two.
But Chinglish is real, though.
Chinglish is real, that is true.
My dad will straight up be like, he'll be like, say some shit in Chinese, like, yeah, printer, fax, no printer, and then go back into Chinese.
Yeah.
Talking to my grandma, and I'm like, why did you stop just for those two words?
Is there no Chinese equivalent for the word printer and fax?
No, but then he'll be like, Chinese, Thursday. No, not Thursday. I mean, I know there's a word for Thursday. Like,
yeah, there's got to be a word for Thursday.
it's because my dad's Chinese is, he's like, he's got like 70% level Chinese. He's not.
He speaks Chinese like I speak. Like I speak Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Spanglish is when you go back and forth.
He speaks Chinese with a New York accent.
He probably does. I wouldn't know, obviously, but he probably does.
Yeah, I mean, I speak Spanish with an American accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can really hear it.
I definitely do, yeah.
Yeah, you can definitely hear it when I speak Spanish. Like, oh, he's really American.
Yeah. When I was playing baseball, I forgot if I told this story before, but I got called out for that once. Because I was on, I was, like, the one brown kid on my team, and then the other team was, like, all brown kids. And they called out to me in Spanish. I think I said something like, no, yo no entiendo, or whatever. And they're like, oh, that motherfucker. England. Yeah. And they were like, oh, that motherfucker. I forgot what they said exactly, but they're like.
To be fair, if they were Dominicans, they weren't speaking Spanish. They were speaking Dominican.
No, they weren't Dominican. No, right. I mean. I can't remember.
There were Spanish people playing baseball? Yeah, they were Dominican.
Brothers. They might have been Puerto Rican, though, because it's New York. Yeah, they weren't Mexican. I think they were. They might have been Puerto Rican, I think. Because I don't think they were Dominican, but. I've been wrong before.
Yeah, fair.
They weren't Mexican, because I know that I can tell. I knew who the Mexican teams were. Well, because we played Mexican teams. Like, we didn't play. Like, whole teams would be Mexican.
You know the difference between a Dominican and a Mexican, unlike a lot of white people.
But also, I knew where they were, because it's like teams would randomly have Dominican or Puerto Rican kids, or they'd be like full Mexican. That's
I like that. So, I like the implication of I knew who they were, because it implies that you know like all the all the Dominican baseball players. Like, we all know who they are.
Especially because my Spanish isn't good, so I wouldn't catch the tone differences there. And, I mean, theoretically, Dominicans are darker. Puerto Ricans come in all shapes, though. So you never know. Yeah, you never know when you're talking to a Puerto Rican, is what I'm saying, especially in New York.
They could be anywhere.
They could be white, they could be black, they could be Chinese, they could be like me.
They could be in your home right now.
And they are.
Even no.
Oi! Yeah, yeah. The call's coming from inside the house. anyway. What the fuck are we talking about, Benel? We're here. We're two straight men, but we are gonna Dragon Ball. But before we do that, we have a listico, you might say.
A dralistico?
Dralistico. Yeah, I was. It's funny. Me and Katie watched the Dolph Ziggler Countdown movie for our Patreon the other day, and fuck it. Remember Kalisto?
Yeah, I remember Kalisto.
He shows up in the movie.
He's in DDT.
Oh, is that what he's doing? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he showed up in the movie, and I was like, oh yeah.
Him. Other than training Sasha Banks, yeah, that's what he's doing right now.
I feel like this is the last time I ever saw. Like, last time I ever saw him was. Yeah, hanging out with Sasha. Okay, so this list this week from CBR.com.
Oh boy.
Our betters, our educators. 10 strongest teachers in anime. These characters teach their students by being an example of the lessons they're teaching, helping them reach their full potential, by Sage Ashford, published January 14th, 2022. Shout out to all the educators, teachers out there. You're doing the Lord's work. Putting up with them kids. Reaching them kids. Benel Hermosen, top 10 strongest teachers in anime. Who you got?
Who I got? Kakashi, probably?
Kakashi Hitaki, the copy ninja, is number 7. Yes.
Let's see. All Might, probably?
All Might, the symbol of peace. Number 6!
Piccolo.
Piccolo, destroyer of moons. Number 3! For training Gohan.
That's right, Dodge!
Dodge!
I just want to remind you that
Abridged.
Team 4 Star is so good that a lot of people think it's the original.
People think Piccolo told him to dodge in the original.
Dodge in the original. Like, that's how good they are.
Sometimes you like Mandela Effect and conflate the two, actually.
Because it's so good.
Yeah, it's really, really, really well done. You got to watch them improve over time, too, if you watch from the beginning of the show.
Yeah, that's.
You got to watch them mature as writers.
I mean, and it's pretty. Yeah, it's like dog nigga.
Yes.
Just like dog nigga.
Just like dog ningen. It is exactly like that. I know a friend of the show, Alex Pacella, keeps asking me to repost that video. I'm not sure there's a way I can repost it without getting taken down.
It's gonna get taken down. It's gonna get taken down.
It was on my old YouTube account, and it definitely got flagged. And I don't know how to repost it, which really sucks. It's not something I did it on stream when I used to stream. Because I can't, like... Yeah. Can't, like,
well, you know, it, but... Hey, YouTube's gonna demonetize you. That's just gonna happen.
Maybe I can, like, sneak it and put it, like, as a shorts. Because I don't really take down shorts, right? I feel like the people putting up shorts do all types of wild and out shit, and nobody does anything. So yeah. I could, like, edit it down to, like, 58 seconds of the best parts. But anyway, so yeah, Piccolo's number 3, Kakashi 7, and what, All Might 6. You're doing great. Benny G, you haven't missed yet.
Kakashi's next, alright. So, Gojo,
Gojo Sensei is surprisingly not here, even though it's 2022.
Alright.
Well, it's January 2022, so, yeah, he's not here.
What, I don't know, Saitama?
Saitama is not here. Good guess, though.
Oof. Fuck. Well, I
the anime choices are all pretty classic, I will say. There's no, like, weird outliers, I wouldn't say. I think these are all... Also, they double up. This person did not do the one per anime rule. Some folks do, so...
Then is it, like, Mike Guy?
No, Mike Guy is not on here.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Jiraiya?
Jiraiya is on here. I believe, did they literally make Jiraiya? No, Jiraiya's 9th on Legendary Sannin, and then Kakashi's 7. All Might 6, Piccolo 3.
Who's number one? That's my main question.
You're a big fan of number 10. Number one is going to be difficult because it's a more recent character from a popular series. Number two is an old classic.
Let me throw an old one out there. How about some Genkai?
There you go. Genkai, number two, the legendary martial arts teacher from Yu Yu Hakusho. Honestly... Should probably be number one, but whatever.
Probably, yeah.
I don't think number one should be... Well, actually, no. So, I don't know how they were actually ranked, because it's 10 strongest teachers in anime, in which case, Genkai's not as strong as Piccolo, so I don't know why he should be above Piccolo, but whatever. But whatever, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, Genkai 2, Piccolo 3, Kakashi 7, All Might 6, Jiraiya 9... 8 is from a classic, 10 is one you're a fan of, 1 is kind of weird, 4 is from a classic, 5 is, you're probably not going to get 5, because we never talk about this anime, but it's very popular.
I'm having a kind of a hard time. What other anime?
Number 10's all you, bro. Number 10, you should... This is... You talk about a lot.
I mean, I already said Gojo, and he's not on there.
Yeah. How do you say teacher in Japanese, you know?
Sensei? Oh, fucking, it's a... Man. Oh my god, why am I blanking on his name? Is it Koro Sensei?
Yeah, it's Koro Sensei, baby. Assassination like Classroom. Yeah,
it is literally. He is literally like. That's literally the show.
That's your man, Koro Sensei. Koro Sensei, Assassination Classroom, Koro, number 10.
Koro Sensei is fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Koro Sensei, top 5. Top 5 for me. He's like one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, definitely any like anime sensei list, you got to put him on. I feel like. So I can run through the rest of these if you want me to.
Yeah, run through the rest.
So 10's Kuro-sensei. Yeah, 9's Jiraiya. 8 is Izumi Curtis from Fullmetal Alchemist. So, that makes sense. Kakashi 7, All Might 6. 5 is Kisuke Urahara from Bleach.
There's no way I would have gotten that.
Yeah, we never talk about Bleach despite its popularity. Kisuke Urahara definitely one of the cooler characters in the show. Me and my homies used to talk about him a lot. Number 4, Biscuit Kruger from Hunter x Hunter. 3 is Piccolo, 2 is Genkai. Number 1 is Whis, Beerus's sensei from Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have gotten that either.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It makes sense. That makes sense in the modern context with Super. But I really feel like not having Master Roshi is weird.
Yeah, that's definitely
I have no problem odd. With picking Piccolo, because I'm a big Gohan fan, but it's weird to like have two Dragon Ball characters and not choose Master Roshi. Either time. On a list about senseis. I know he's problematic, but it's still weird. You know? Anyway, so that's 10 strongest teachers in anime. I think, obviously, if this was like a little bit later, Gojo would be on there. I could see a case for Saitama as well. But yeah, overall, not a bad list. The doubling up on the animes makes you feel like this. I'm not trying to call Sage out, but it seems like they really want to stay in the line with the popular ones, the classics.
Yeah.
Nothing really, no curveballs in this one.
No spiciness.
Yeah, not a ton of spice. I would even feel like picking Aizawa over All Might, because like, I mean, I get All Might's like the bigger name, but Aizawa's like the actual teacher. Like All Might just starts teaching later because he's losing his powers. He needs a gig, so. But whatever. So with that. Well done, Benny G. It's time to get into this week's episode of Dragon Baller.
Dragon Ball.
New eye catch, by the way.
Yeah. New eye
catch, which that's how you know we are in the second, not arc, but part?
Saga,
maybe? Yeah. No, not half. Yeah. Not half. No.
Not half?
No.
Not
second half. Volume, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Part, let's call it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, episode 43, in the evening, Goku and the villagers of Snow Village prepare their final meal together before Goku departs in the next day. During the evening, Goku reveals his plans to go to Metro West and see Bulma, see if he can fix her Dragon Ball Scouter. Since he doesn't have a ride, he's probably going to walk there, and he's going to need a lot of lunches to do it.
Oh boy, will he. He's a hungry, hungry boy.
Goku tells the villagers his plan the next day to walk since King Tonun is dead. The village chief tells Goku that Kidoon is a cloud and therefore cannot die, and asks Goku if he's tried calling for it.
Goku's like, oh, really? I like Goku's innocence in Dragon Ball is such a huge part of what makes the show great. Because he's just like, it doesn't even occur to him. He just goes, oh, my cloud died. Darn.
And to be fair, like, you know, it's a magical flying cloud. Like, what are the rules?
Right.
Like, unless someone tells you the rules. Like, how are you supposed to know?
Roshi never explained the rules of Nimbus.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things. Like, what are the rules, guys? What are the rules of the flying magic cloud?
What are the rules?
Should I put it in or should I take it out?
You have to tell me.
You gotta tell me. So, Goku calls his, Cloud, Kintun-un arrives. Side note, I think Usagi Yojimbo's in the crowd. I think that's pretty cool.
Wait, who?
Usagi Yojimbo is, it's an American comic book character from this, it's a contemporary of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's part of the 80s independent comic wave, and it's, super popular, long-running, it's a super popular, long-running comic series still running to this day. And it's basically like, you know, Lone Wolf and Cubs, except everybody's like animals.
Oh, that's adorable. Wait, he was in the crowd in the city?
He's in the crowd. He's the crowd of Snowtown.
Oh, okay. I did not notice that.
That's, I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good catch.
Yeah. So, Goku's thrilled to have his old friend back, and after being pointed in the right direction by the rest of the crowd, Goku heads out of the snowy mountain climbs, and we get a delightful song of Kintun-un by Goku explaining Kintun-un's black story and how it's not sweet mashed potatoes.
Kintun-yo. Oh, wait, sorry, that's the Kim Jong-il song. I got confused. Nimbus, come to me. And Nimbus came.
Yeah, the Americans don't get a nice little song.
Yeah, we didn't. We didn't get a song, but now I'm mad. The English version had no song, okay, and I'm upset about it.
You should be furious.
Nimbus has a backstory? I don't even know what has a backstory. What the fuck?
Yeah, a whole backstory, bro. Brother. Yeah, the whole backstory. His father got killed in the war. He had to raise three brothers on his own. Then his mother died of esophageal cancer. Yeah, but he still has a great attitude, even though he's led a hard life. Yeah. He persevered through it, even though he's led a hard life. You know,
he's the Emmy Rossum of the Shameless story.
He has high spirits. Every day every time he drops Goku off, he goes back to his home, and there's like little clouds there. He's like, one of his brothers has a like mental health, disability and stuff.
Yeah.
He has to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
Kintun-un is like, you know, secret hero of the Dragon Ball universe.
They have that one arc where he has got to enter a cloud race to win the prize money for the medical bills for the one brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't talk about that in Dragon Ball for some reason.
I don't know. Seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely feels like a missed opportunity. Anyway, soon Goku arrives at the bustling hub of Metro West, having never been in the city before. Well, having been in the city only once for a fighting tournament, Goku is very, very confused by the fact that so many people can live in the same place and not know each other. But my question to Goku is, how could you ever really know somebody?
How can you ever know somebody?
How can you know what's truly in someone's heart?
Marara! I believe someday ninjas will be able to understand what's in each other's hearts. No, Hashirama. I believe it's impossible to know what's in each other's hearts. Wood style. But no, you remember that meme gif, whatever? It's not a gif. That meme where like the one kid comes out and he goes, "All women are queens," and he takes like a blue lightsaber, and then the other kid comes out and goes, "If she breathes, she's a thought," and he takes out a red lightsaber, and then they clash. I just refound that this week, and it's like my favorite thing ever. I forgot about it. It's like a 5-year-old meme, but It really still hits. So the way that one kid says thought is so funny. It's just like, it's an all-time line delivery in this like 8-second video.
That is an all-timer. And that's when the, I hate to say it, we really fucked up with Vine. We really should have.
A few things are so perfect in this world, but like that 8-second video.
It was too beautiful to live.
It was too beautiful to live on, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're encapsulated in YouTube compilations now. Forever.
I mean, yeah, that is true. In YouTube compilations, probably where it should be, because like I'm sure if we went back and look at the aggregate, most of it was not funny. But man.
No, but the good ones hit hard. Like, yeah, that's the thing. A lot of them were mid, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But man.
It's just, like, I hope when we go extinct, I hope, like, the future people or creatures, whatever, that takes over, I hope they still find that video. Because that just explains that just explains internet culture.
Yeah, that is
in the
that
same is a perfect age distillation. It's such a perfect, that is a distillation. Perfect distillation
of internet culture. Just absolutely 100%.
Those 8 seconds can tell you about like 25 years. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
It's just, and possibly more into the future, but Christ.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Like, just like the purest desolation of like internet humor one can find.
Yeah.
I'm like jealous of it. I really wish things were as funny. TikTok got all serious. Like TikTok was gonna be that for a second and then it was like, nah, we're TikTok now. And I'm like, great. Now it's 20-minute videos.
I mean,
motherfuckers just talking to me.
It's like motherfuckers anything, right?
Yeah. Who the fuck is like TikTok video seems to be a place where people with no friends go to tell you their problems.
Oh, is that what it is now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of videos I'm seeing is just like, you know, my boyfriend just broke up with me because he says he's not ready for a relationship. But I'm like, don't you have like a friend you could talk to? Isn't there like a person you can like actually tell this to? Not the entirety of the internet?
Are people replacing, like, actual friendships with the internet?
Dude, I think that is what's happening. I think that's what's happening, is people are replacing actual friendships with the internet, which is...
Like, shout out to Patak and Jeremy at Curators. I'm always blown away by what people will write into that fucking site. Like, just ask... Who are you asking this shit? Like, what... Like, is it not just filled with bots? I'm like, are there not just bots populating this thing? Are these real people asking all this shit?
Some people admit to things there where I'm like, brother, Batman couldn't get this fucking thing out of me.
Like, yeah, like, bro.
They're offering things like Batman couldn't get this fucking information out of my ass.
Yeah, no, for real. It's like... it's just like...
Like, brother...
It's a bunch of people doing Liam Neeson in that one interview that we always bring up.
Where he's like, he was like, hey, so tell me about this movie about revenge. One time I wanted to kill a black man.
Wait, I'm sorry, Liam, black man.
One time, a friend of mine was raped, and I went around looking for a black man to kill. But just any gray, black man.
Okay, but what about the Wolf movie?
Any black man just wanted to kill him.
The gray.
Like, what you see here is my friend got raped, and then I wanted to kill a black man.
Just any one of them.
Just any one.
I lumped them all together into one entity in my mind.
Not even the guy who raped my friend. Just any guy would do.
If he's black, he can get beat.
So,
I don't know.
Mr. Neeson, what does that have to do with wolves?
Oh.
he blacks out. He's like, oh, God.
Wait. Did I what just happened? Hold, what did I just say? What happened the last 30 seconds?
He said the word wolf, and I went off.
I told my agent to tell the interviewer not to say use the word wolf. It's a trigger word for me.
Liam, look, man, the movie's about wolves. You have to talk about wolves.
It's actually not about wolves, okay? It's about a man struggling to survive in the north against the elements, but it was marketed to be about me fighting wolves, and I don't even fight a wolf in the movie.
He actually doesn't fight a wolf in the movie. That's the thing about that movie. Yeah. That movie made it seem like he was gonna go fucking taken on those wolves.
Yes.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
You know, you'd think, like, how long ago was The Grey? It's like fucking 15 years old, 10 years old, maybe?
Yeah.
You'd think in, like, light of that, like, they would actually just make a movie where somebody fights wolves. Because the public clearly wanted it. I don't know how well the movie actually did, but it's like, clearly, the public wanted a movie where Liam Neeson fights wolves. So why did someone make a movie where, like, Denzel Washington fights wolves or something? Like, I don't know. Like, just pick another aging action guy.
Just find wolves, put them in a movie, have them fight wolves.
Right. Maybe it's hard. Man,
it can't be that hard. It can't be that hard to find wolves.
Happen a seal.
Man, wolves?
Fucking wolves. I still haven't seen that movie, but I watched that scene.
Benel, I'm gonna watch that movie with you.
Benel showed me that scene from The Lonely Island. What was it called again?
Pop Star, Don't Stop and Never Stopping.
Yeah.
highly rated. Highly rated for just, like, Maya Rudolph saying the N-word. Like, that's top 100 movie.
Damn,
brother! It was so good. I just had to rewatch that scene. Yeah. So good. I showed Lulu that scene. She did not get it, and I was like, "Well, there's like nothing I can do."
Yeah,
I can't make you understand why that scene is so fucking funny.
Fucking wolves. Anyways, back to Dragon Ball.
Yeah, it's Goku in town. He's going to make it after all. Dun, 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 dun. So Goku tries to get in the cab, but since he doesn't have any money, he finds that he can't get to Bulma's house. Soon he stumbles onto a street fight in progress. The fighter offers anyone 100,000 sending to anyone that challenges him. No one in Metro City, however, recognizes Goku as a runner-up of the Budokai tournament that happened like 3 months beforehand.
Nope.
And therefore, Goku takes up the challenge, laying the guy out with one punch.
And he wins 100,000 zenny. Now, Benel, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did this kickboxer, did he remind you of anyone?
Yes, every fighter guy that Toriyama draws is just Bruce Lee.
Now,
every one of them.
I don't want to come on here and broken record, but why you gotta fuck up Bruce Lee every time?
You have to fuck up Bruce Lee every time.
Why does Japan always gotta beat up Bruce Lee every time? Why gotta be like this?
Every single time.
Just draw anyone else. Why? Beat up Chuck Norris. What the fuck, man? Leave my man alone.
Like, brother, he's Asian. He's Japanese. He's not gonna beat up a white man. You already know what's going on.
God damn it, bro. It's always Bruce Lee. These motherfuckers love beating up Bruce Lee. Christ. Sick man of Asia, indeed. And they make him look like an asshole beforehand. Is this where Tarantino got this shit from?
That makes fucking him look like an asshole.
It's like one thing they beat him up, but he looks like a fucking dickhead also.
gotta make him look like an asshole.
And then Goku showed him what for.
That problem with Bruce Lee, he's been on Easy Street for too fucking long, brother. Had it way too easy. It's time to take him down a peg.
God forbid Chinese people have one fucking icon.
Chinese people have Mao Zedong. He has another icon.
Not exactly what I would call the Mao, the Mauster, if I may.
Bro, are you saying Lu Bu is not an icon?
Well, you know what the funny thing is? He is, but he's also a... You know what? Lu Bu really was a... Lu Bu was a thought.
That dude was a himbo.
Yeah, he really was.
That dude was the definition of a himbo.
I love that he just thought he was just going to keep getting away with shit, like, constantly. He just betray everybody, but nobody would ever catch on.
He thought he kept like, I'm going to switch sides.
I'm going to switch sides. And after the fourth time, he's like, and they were like, he's going to switch sides. I'm like, okay, we're going to execute him. Literally, Cao Cao was about to be like, you know what? I will take you in as my son. And then one of his wives was like, he's like done this like four times. He's like, oh, word. All right, let's execute him.
I like Lu Bu was like, hey, my binds are too strong. Can you untie me? And he's like, no, you're not getting away, motherfucker. Brother, you're not getting away. That might have worked on me the first three times.
Not this time, Lu Bu.
Not this time.
Please accept my accept my loyal service. Like, bro, you betrayed three people to get here.
You betrayed me to another guy and then betrayed him to me.
But please accept my loyal service. Bro, you keep saying this word loyal around a lot, and I don't think you know what that means, bro. Chap.
Fucking straight up.
Mate. Anyway, execute him.
Lu Bu is great because he's just yelling at Lui Bei. He's like, you're not trustworthy. He's not trustworthy. Like, Jesus Christ.
Hey, Cao Cao? Yeah. This dude has literally betrayed everybody he's ever known.
Yeah. Hey, shut the fuck up, bro. Shut up. Shut your mouth.
Shut your dickless mouth, eunuch. I don't know what was your dickless opinions in here. Anyway, execute him.
shout out to Lu Bu. Shout out to Lu Bu.
Went out.
The ultimate finesse. The ultimate
finesse. This man's just out here.
Is just out here finessing people. Just finessing. God damn it. The three romance is. The Romance of Three Kings is like literally the best.
It's an amazing tale. It's just such an amazing story. Just so many people trying so hard to accomplish basically nothing.
Nothing gets accomplished.
To basically stay in the same place. Just like three guys pushing against each other to never moving, basically. It's just like...
And then a fourth guy just shows up and wins.
Yeah, that's how it ends. Spoilers for Romance of Three Kingdoms. After these three guys literally push their whole lives push against each other, they get nowhere. A fourth guy just shows up, and after they all die, a fourth guy just shows up and rinses all their ancestors.
I was about to say, like, it's so funny how the Romance of Three Kingdoms end, because, like, the Tokugawa Shogunate ends kind of the same way, where he, like, his kids fuck everything up.
Well, it's like these three guys who are like, the third guy's kind of whatever, but two of the three guys are like goated and like really heavily smart advisors and underlings or whatever. But then as soon as they all die, the guy who just was alive for too long just beats everyone else because everyone smart is dead. So the fourth guy just wins. It's fucking hilarious.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. Man. Top tier military history.
Yeah. China just, it's like, I can't say enough how many Chinese people died during all that to move inches.
Yeah, just bodies thrown against the, thrown against the fucking pyre.
Mm-hmm.
To not accomplish anything. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's like pretty amazing.
China fall, China breaks apart, comes back together, breaks apart, comes back together. And so it was. Anyway, what's going on in Dragon Ball? So yeah, so Goku's got the 100,000 Zenny.
He's with the bankroll! The bankroll!
Yeah, he's,
You'll come and get it. And some guys do. Some guys lead him into the alleyway. Typical D&D style. Hey, are you lost? We can help you. Come in this alleyway. And then they attempt to rob him, and it does not go well.
It goes about as well as you'd expect.
One of the things Goku does is get casually headbutts a guy, which is always the most badass move.
It's a great move, yeah.
Just like the dude gets too close, you bop him with a fucking heady.
Boom.
Goes down. Kick the gun out of the other guy's hand. Robert tells him, he's like, hey, okay, so you need help finding your friend. It's like, just go find a police officer and ask them. So Goku finds a police officer, but not before handing his wad of money to a stranger.
Yeah, he asks a random lady, where's the police officer? She points one out, and he gives her 100,000 Zenny. He just gives her all of it.
Get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, fucking hell of a job.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, finally, I could quit my OnlyFans.
Nah, you know she does it because she loves it.
Yeah, she loves OnlyFans.
Now she can buy some better ring lights and stuff. And
yeah, for real.
Cameras.
Buy those tea lights that everyone buys, everyone in their 20s. Instead of just buying a fucking lamp, everyone in their 20s just buys a ring light. Like one of those tea lights and stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I've had sex with so many girls under those tea lights. So many of them. Just slayed so much, lady, under the tea lights.
Damn.
So Goku asks around, finds a police officer, and the police officer is not helpful, which is obvious because he's a police officer. But then he finds out that Bulma is Bulma Brief, who is rich, and therefore helps Goku right away.
In the English version, he's like, I'm not sure if I should be doing this. But then he just looks up all the Bulmas in the city, which, like, so even fucking Capsule City is a police state, obviously. They have everybody's info.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it works.
Just on lock in 1985.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know if I should do this. And he just looks up, there's two Bulmas. This one, no. This one, yes. And then he's like, all right, I guess I'll get, literally Goku's like, he's like, you know her, right? He's like, yeah, I'm her friend. And I know Goku, we know Goku's a good guy. He's not a very threatening looking, but he's a nice kid. He's a nice kid. But
yeah.
As a police officer, I would have liked for him to ask for some
follow up.
I don't know, an ID maybe. Or like some proof of whatever. Like maybe you drive to them first without Goku. And ask if they know, and then go back and tell them where you left him. Like, you leave him somewhere? Because he just drives Goku to her house, what I'm saying. It's kind of weird to just... Again, Goku is a child, and he means well. But I'm just saying, if it was me, I'd like to think that a cop wouldn't just drive somebody to my house because they said they knew me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I've heard.
It's kind of... But luckily Goku is a, you know, he's Goku and not a fucking rapist. So, yeah, he gives Goku the lift over. And actually, that's the end of the episode, right? We never see Bulma in this episode.
That's the end of the episode.
And there's a really funny part in the English where he's like, I can give you a lift over. So earlier Goku tried to take a taxi cab there, but he didn't know that he had to pay the taxi cab for the cab, right? And the guy's like, get lost, kid. You need money. This ain't a charity job. And the kid's like, and then Goku's like, oh, I need money. So then later when the cop goes to give him a lift, he's like, oh, but I don't have any money to give you. And the cop goes, what do you think? I accept bribes? Which, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's funny. That was a good little joke there. Because we all know.
Cops take bribes. Sometimes you gotta get your little beak wet. You gotta give him a taste.
A taste?
Yeah, give him a taste.
A taste? I'll give him a taste.
You want a taste? Gotta give him a taste.
I'll give him a taste. Hey, Danny.
No one has ever explained why Daddy Magic Bat Menard sounds like he's from Jersey. No one has ever explained that to me. And I don't think anybody can.
Is he not from Jersey?
No, he's from fucking Quebec.
Well, he just, you know.
Motherfucker speaks French.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that's why the 2.0 is a big part of the Canada tour, yeah.
Yeah.
He just wanted a taste. Taste the title, Danny?
Everything is a D. Everything's a D sound. He sounds like a fucking Long Island goddamn mook. He sounds like a Long Island mook. Just like, just taste.
You know what makes Daddy Magic's nipples hard? You know, he hasn't said that in like a year, but everyone in my Discord still, every time they see him, they ask if his nipples are hard. Well, they could cut glass
Brother, that motherfucker is at whatever wrestler should aspire to be. Just super over and doesn't have to work very hard.
Barely takes bumps, cashing that check.
Cash that check is super fucking over.
Meanwhile, Cool Hand Ange is bringing his real life fucking relationship onto the screen. So, good for those two. They look cute.
Hey, happy for you crazy kids.
Couple of crazy, crazy 30-year-old kids.
Yeah. Happy for you 30-year-old kids.
Crazy 30-year-old kids. Anyway, that's the episode of Dragon Ball. Out of 7 Dragon Balls, how many are we rating for this episode?
I'm going to give it a nice 4.
4 stars. 4 out of 7?
Yeah.
Well, so what does Goku have with him right now? He's got the 2-star ball with him? And the 4-star? Yeah, 2-star ball.
I believe, no, the 5-star. He's looking for the 4. He's
still looking for the 4. So you got 2 and the 5. Yeah, I'll give this a nice 4. There were some fun bits in there. It was a transitional episode. New eye catch with Goku and Roshi. Feels like a new day, a new era. A new era in the realm of this podcast. And, as a reminder, it's March Madness time, baby! Now's the time you want to sign up to vote on what's going on the Patreon. This is the month to do it. Patreon.com/BOSpod. $5, you get to vote for the next, series me and Hannah are gonna tackle. As we are moving in towards fillers, we won't actually hit the fillers till April something or other, but this month is when you can sign into the Patreon and vote on which series we'll move on to. March Madness is happening. Unless I fucked up, the polls should be up by the time you're hearing this on the Patreon. So get in there, throw down to $5, make your voice heard. Make your Amber voice heard at patreon.com/BOSpod. And of course, you get all the backlog stuff as well with the OG crew, Patak, Thunder, Rose Leon. Any other plugs from you, Betty G, before we shift off this mortal coil to our deaths?
By the time you hit this episode, I would already perform. But if you need to see me wrestle, ham_wrestler, capitalist pig wrestler, for more ham dates.
But what if I want some ham sandwiches?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go for that?
To the deli, brother.
Katz's Deli?
Yeah, Katz's. You go to Katz's.
I'm trying off the red meat a little bit.
Mm.
Well, then why'd you ask him, Lawson? Go fuck yourself, me. That's it for us here, everybody. We'll see you next week for another episode of Ballin' Out Super. Adios, salud, amor, y dinero.